Imagine a life in desert wilderness, searching for water every day, while exploring dark and narrow canyons, sun-baked sand dunes, or miles of sharply jagged rock. That's how Morning Edition commentator Craig Childs spends much of his time. The rest of it's devoted to writing about his journeys. Childs has a new book called Soul of Nowhere, about the wilds of the desert southwest. NPR's Howard Berkus hiked and camped with Childs, exploring the desert explorer.
This journey begins not in the deep shadows of a Red Rock Canyon or the searing heat of the Sonoran Desert, but at a massive three-dimensional relief map inside the cooled, well-lighted visitor center at Glen Canyon Dam on the Utah-Arizona border.
There are so many routes within this that I know. You know, hundreds and hundreds of small passageways down cliff faces and behind cracks to get into places that don't have names, that don't have any trails. I could spend my whole life right in this area, moving constantly, and I would not cover this place. I would not know it.
Craig Childs points out places he does know on the map. There's the canyon hiding a basket 1,500 years old, a place he vaguely describes to protect the basket from looters. And there's a labyrinth of sculpted sandstone hundreds of feet deep, where it took 15 days once to go just 5 miles.
If you dropped somebody into there, just took a helicopter, put somebody in there, you know, most people would never, ever make it within half a mile out. You know, they would be there forever. And this place is a maze. In some of these landscapes, we'll walk for a month without maps, without a compass.
Because you can't see what is pictured on the map.
Yeah, because you'd have it in your hand, and there would be an arrow pointing where you need to go, and you'd be standing in front of a cliff wall. There are places where to make 1 mile east-west will require 8 miles north-south. It's just that kind of place.
Places like these are explored in Child's new book, Soul of Nowhere. We head up a squat mountain of sandstone sprinkled with juniper to talk about the book and a life of exploration. We're joined by artist Reagan Choi, Child's wife. They spent their honeymoon here, among rocks so twisted and gouged by wind and water, it resembles a choppy sea frozen in stone.
Oh, right over there is the breaking wave I was telling you about.
Oh, this guy?
Oh, wow, look at that. It's like if we stand here long enough, we'll get splashed.
Yeah, you get hit by it.
It's like a petrified wave.
Yeah.
In mid-splash.
I spend most of my time walking around out here going, what the hell is that? What is this thing?
We ask that question a lot amid hundreds of deep depressions, water holes, some as big as swimming pools, some lined with a gooey green water, and teeming with tiny creatures which resemble tadpoles with shells. A few of the water holes are dry and sandy, so we lay out bedrolls to sleep beneath the stars. The wake-up call is a flute, Child's one constant companion. He often travels with Reagan or friends, but sometimes he's alone for days and weeks at a time.
There is this sense sometimes that the land is so huge. The flute is like saying, okay, I am here, I am consequential. I will not just vanish. Sometimes I've been way out there and I just thought, God, I could just close my eyes and I would be gone.
Is that what Soul of Nowhere is about, essentially?
A Soul of Nowhere is about, what does a rugged landscape do to you? What would happen if you came to a place like this and just give your life over to it? What would happen if I just went out there and walked thousands and thousands of miles of walking?
Childs wanders, but not aimlessly. He's learned to read desert and canyon landscapes, deciphering which types of rock lead to pathways and water. He eats and dresses simply on these journeys. Trail mix, beans and rice, a creased floppy hat, a blue and white serape, tan pants with tatters and tears. Early in Soul of Nowhere, Childs asks the question his wandering attempts to answer.
What is this desolate lure that I feel around me, as sharp and enticing as freshly broken glass? How I answer this question is by, I think, by giving the story to people. I'm going to take you there. I'm going to put you where I was and see if you can figure this out.
Why the canyons in the desert as opposed to the mountains or the Arctic or the sea?
It's more barren than any place else, as far as just, you know, what most people would consider barren. I think that's it. I think that on this planet, deserts are far lands. The desert is just this cracked, ugly place. And it's that ugliness that's the beauty that I'm after.
As a kid in Colorado and Arizona, Childs dreamed of parachuting into desolate places, finding ancient artifacts, and walking endlessly. In his 30s now, his writing supports his wandering. His bearded and rounded face brightens, his eyes sparkle when he reads about the toughest places, like the desert island in Mexico, a few square miles of rocky spires, rising 2,000 feet out of the Sea of Cortez.
It was a place too harsh for common creatures. I walked around absorbing the sensation, this idea that I was teetering at the edge of the earth, a place avoided by most living creatures. It was here that I could feel the breath of life as if it were roaring through the air, the land completely raw beneath it.
Sometimes the journeys are raw, approaching the limits of life and reason, like the trek in a sea of sand dunes in Mexico and Arizona. Childs and a friend went there after another hiker died.
He had dropped his pack that was full of water and food. And then he dropped items of clothing, and there was just this trail leading to him. And I know why it happened. I know that he was out there just going, yeah, you're almost there. It's partly delirium.
How did you survive in that environment?
Just by remembering that, by saying, okay, you know, you are a storyteller. You've got to come back and tell this story. You can't keep going because the end of the story is your death.
And you did some extraordinary things there to survive.
Yeah. The two of us who were out in the dunes, we had to bury ourselves for about 5 or 6 hours every day in the sand to get out of the heat. 2 weeks we were doing that, where we just dig ourselves in and just sit there and talk about madness. When you're just a face sitting on a 500-foot slope of a dune, you're just this tiny thing that's just looking out across dunes forever. And you can't move. And you're just hanging on to your sanity.
The place we decide to explore is much more sane. The sun's hidden by clouds, the air is chilly, the walking's easier, and we're constantly teased, not tortured. We find scraps of pottery and bone. We watch a coyote lope by, casual and unconcerned. Then the wind whips up, rain falls, and Childs smiles broadly. The weather's carving rock, he says. He lives for days like this on a skyscraping hump of sandstone near the Utah-Arizona border. Greg Childs' new book is called Soul of Nowhere. Howard Berkus, NPR News.
There are photographs of their hike at npr.org.